Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that are designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. The show is brought to you by Odin, Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving clients across the D.C. metro area and across the country. If you'd like to know more about OFP, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. Also, if you'd like to read my blog, please subscribe to it at www.blueprintforwealth.org, and you can get all the most recent content as well as archived videos. You can listen to the old radio shows and tune in there. Today, we're going to be talking about some of the developments in 2010 in the area of asset protection. I've covered some of these topics on prior radio shows, but I think it's worthy of summarizing all of the main developments that occurred last year in this very important area. The area is important because it helps us decide how to protect our assets from potential creditors. In the area of self-settled trusts, or domestic asset protection trusts, Hawaii became the 11th state to provide for self-settled trust protections. Self-settled trusts are trusts that you take assets and contribute to a trust for your benefit and for the benefit of others. In most states, including Virginia, Maryland, and D.C., these self-settled trusts are not protected from creditors' claims. But in states like Delaware and now Hawaii, these trusts may afford some protection. Although Hawaii may have had good intentions, it's highly unlikely that many of our clients are going to choose Hawaii law to govern their trusts because there are some serious flaws in the act. For example, the Act in Hawaii defines permitted property, property that's covered, as cash and marketable securities, life insurance contracts, and certain private annuities. It does not protect limited partnerships or real estate or closely held business interests from the claims of creditors. In addition, it has a much broader class of creditors that are exempt from the coverage of the Act. So why go to Hawaii when you can go to other states and receive greater protection? But even though the Act has some flaws, it has some positive news for all of us that are using these self-settled trusts for asset protection. Mainly, one of the main attacks that creditors try to bring against these self-settled trusts in non-self-settled trust jurisdictions is that it's against public policy to basically enforce these types of trusts. Well, the more states like Hawaii that enact these types of protective statutes that protect you from your creditors by putting your assets into these asset protection trusts, the weaker the argument becomes that it's against public policy. So stay tuned. More states, I'm sure, will enact legislation similar to Hawaii and Delaware that protect self-settled trusts. Number two in the area of asset protection and developments is in the area of Q-tip trusts. These are known as qualified terminable interest property trusts. And Florida enacted legislation that really provides protection from creditors of a donor spouse if the spouse is designated as a beneficiary after the donee spouse's death. The Florida legislature recently rejected adoption of the self-settled trust legislation that I just referred to in the case of Hawaii just a second ago. But what it did do is it enacted a law that is similar to laws that have been passed in Arizona, Delaware, and Michigan that will enable a wealthy person who is happily married to protect his assets or her assets by establishing a Q-tip trust during his or her life that provides estate tax savings but also provides asset protection from the settlor or grantor's creditors as well as the spouse's creditors. This is a powerful tool. So Florida, Delaware, Arizona, and Michigan have enacted these statutes, and Florida being the most recent. On recent shows, we've also talked about inherited IRAs as being protective of the owners of the IRAs, the participants of the IRAs, from their own creditors. In the court system, we've seen a number of cases that have had an impact on asset protection in this area. An IRA is generally protected from the claims of the owner's creditors, but it's always been unclear whether an inherited IRA, one in which you became the owner of because you were designated the beneficiary on the IRA account, is also protected from the claims of your creditors, the inheritor's creditors. Most courts have denied creditor protection to inherited IRAs for a variety of reasons, and we talked about that in a recent edition of Blueprint for Wealth. But recent cases have begun to reverse this trend. For example, in April 2010, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in the Nessa case stated that an inherited IRA, which still contained retirement funds within the meaning of the federal bankruptcy law, was protected from the beneficiary's creditors. More and more courts are holding in favor of the IRA beneficiary and owner so that the beneficiary's creditors cannot access the IRA assets. So stay tuned for developments in this area, because I think there will be more court cases as we move along. Also, we've talked about charging order protection in the context of limited liability companies. Normally, when you have a limited liability company and you have a member of that company who is subject to the claims of creditors, the creditors cannot step into the shoes of the member and force the LLC to liquidate and distribute its assets to the creditors. That's known as charging order protection. The creditor normally can only get a charging order that, if any assets are in fact distributed to the member, the creditor will succeed to the member's rights to those assets, but they can't force the LLC to liquidate or distribute the assets. Recent judicial developments in this area have sort of overturned the whole area of charging order protection that are provided by limited liability companies. The latest case that I've seen is the Olmstead versus Federal Trade Commission case, in which the Florida Supreme Court concluded that the charging order statute in Florida did not prevent the creditor from executing against a single member LLC. A single member LLC is a limited liability company that's owned by one person. Many LLCs might be owned by more than one person, and this rule or overturning of the charging order protection doesn't apply. Wyoming is the only state that provides for the exclusive charging order remedy for single-member LLCs, but the question was whether or not single-member LLCs afforded charging order protection against the creditors of the sole member. And the answer, in the Olmstead case, at least in Florida, we know that in the bank context of bankruptcy, creditors may actually step into the shoes of a sole member of an LLC and force the LLC to distribute the assets to the member. So watch out for further developments in this area. Again, it only applies to single member LLCs, and it only applies in the context of bankruptcy. Next, offshore asset protection trusts. A development that has occurred in recent months is in the case of a civil contempt order that involved an offshore asset protection trust. The Securities Exchange Commission sued a gentleman by the name of Solo, Jamie Solo, in fact, in November 2006. The SEC alleged that he had engaged in fraudulent insider trading schemes. The court found that Solo violated various anti-fraud and other provisions of the Securities Exchange Act of 1934 and the 1933 Act as well. The court issued a disgorgement order requiring Solo to pay over $6 million to the SEC. When Solo didn't pay, the SEC asked the court to hold the defendant in contempt of court for having depleted his net worth through a purposeful campaign of asset dissipation. The defendant and his wife liquidated securities accounts totaling over $1.5 million. Some of the funds were used to pay asset protection attorneys that were retained by Solo's wife merely 4 days after the court's ruling. The defendant later signed a $5.2 million mortgage on his Florida residence and used the proceeds to fund a certificate of deposit that was held by a Cook Islands trust, an offshore trust settled by and for the benefit of Solo's wife. Solo argued that the assets that were sought by the SEC were formerly held by him and his wife as tenants by the entireties, and therefore couldn't have been reachable by the creditors under Florida law, even if they hadn't been transferred to his wife. But the district court rejected Solo's argument and held him in contempt of court, ordering that he be incarcerated, and stated that the disgorgement orders, unlike judgments, can be enforced by a civil contempt order. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals recently affirmed this decision, which, in other words, did not afford Solo protection that he thought was available because he owned the assets with his wife. What can be learned? Well, when a wrongdoer utilizes an offshore trust to avoid creditors, disgorgement orders will be upheld by the court, at least in the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. And more importantly, planning with offshore trusts should only be considered where there are no clouds on the horizon, such as a contempt order that might be issued by the court. So asset protection developments are important. If you'd like to know more about asset protection and how to protect your assets from creditors, call us at 703-218-2100. And if you'd like to know more about Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.